Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
If you have your Bibles, would you get them out, or your phones, your iPads, whatever you might use, and let's turn to Acts chapter 16. Pastor Bracken called me this morning before the first service and asked me to give all of his love to all of you. I think, I don't know how many hours ahead it is there, but he was just getting ready to go to bed, and he's like, please give my love to my people. So your pastor loves you and cares about you, amen. Also, my wife, Pastor Melissa, sends her love. She wishes she could be here. Hi, hon. She's back in Branson with my son ministering there. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I'm going to read from the NIV today. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. It is a lamp to our feet and a light upon our path. We thank you that you've given us your word, Lord God, to guide us and lead us. And I pray this morning you will speak to our hearts. Lord, let your word be that seed that finds good soil in our lives, in our hearts. Come on, just begin to pray that God will touch you through the word today. Lord God, we pray that you, Lord God, will allow it to reap much fruit in our lives today, Lord God. Let us focus for these few moments, God, on what you want to speak to us and enable me to share it as I should, and I thank you for it. In your name, amen. You can be seated this morning. Anybody ready to get into the word today? As Pastor Kirsten said, we've been involved in worship ministry for a lot of years. For 21 years, my wife and I were the worship leaders or pastors there at the main campus at the Maui Cathedral. And then we moved in 2009 to plant the King's Dallas campus. And then a few years later, 5 years later, moved to a place called Branson, Missouri, to plant the campus that's happening right there. Our son, Dylan, Pastor Dylan, if any of you know him, is taking a greater role there and allowing me to travel a little more as Dr. Morocco has asked me to. And I'm just thankful to get to be in one of the great King's churches today. And we're just rejoicing with you for this property, all the miracles that God has done, the revival that's happening throughout Alaska and especially here in the valley. Can we just give the Lord a hand for what he's doing here? It's a huge privilege to have the opportunity to be here with you guys and just to share the word for a few minutes. So yeah, we've been worship leaders for many, many years. We go around training. I got to spend some time with the choir. And do you guys appreciate Minister Toby and the team and the choir and Minister Micah, all of those up here? What a blessing they are. And if you want to get involved in that, see Minister Toby. I'm sure he'd love to have you be part of the choir. Got to spend a little bit of time with them last Thursday night at their rehearsal teaching some music. And come tonight. Tonight's going to be a really special night. I believe God has a word for you tonight, a word for all of us. And we're going to take some time just to press into God a little more in worship. Amen. And just to soak in the presence of God. I think he's going to do that tonight. So come expectant that God's going to touch you and just minister to you in a powerful way. But this morning, I don't really want to talk about leading in worship, which I do a lot. I want to talk about living worship. And here in this passage that we read, I'm going to kind of set it up for you. Some of you might be super familiar with it, some of you not. Paul and Silas are on their second missionary journey. And God, they wanted to go a certain direction, and God said, you can't go that direction. God had another plan happening in that part of the world. He was really sending Peter, it seems, into that part of the world. And Paul had a dream. And he was called to go to this land called Macedonia, which the area where he's at, we know as part of Greece right now. And so he goes there, and no one's ever heard the gospel. This is brand new. They've never heard about Jesus. They don't know anything like that. And he meets this woman by the river. She gets saved. She opens her house. She starts a little life group. And that was the start, really, a home group, we could call it, of the church happening in Philippi. Well, as you can guess, the enemy's not that excited about Paul sharing the gospel of Jesus in this region. And so this demonized girl's following Paul and Silas everywhere they go while they try to minister. And you can imagine, she's just like calling out their name, servants of God, you know. It wasn't good advertising. Paul did not want the demon advertising, all right? And it just got annoying. I mean, if someone did that to you everywhere you went, even if they weren't demonized, you would be annoyed, all right? So just add the demon factor to it, okay? And the in our English translation, it says she was demonized, but the Greek said that she had a python spirit. And python that was connected to the god Apollo, the Greek god Apollo, and there was like a temple to that in that region where Philippi was. So, you know, this was potentially like a regional demonic thing, and Paul just rebukes the devil and drives the demon out of her. How many of you know there's power in the name of Jesus? Well, the guys who were manipulating her and who were controlling her and using her to make money by telling fortunes were not happy, because now they didn't have the demon to help, you know, lie to people and do witchcraft. And so now the girl's delivered. Now what do we do? So they're angry. And so they grab Paul and Silas. They bring them in the town square. They accuse them. They think they're not Roman citizens. Maybe they perhaps looked Jewish. So they're attacking them. They're falsely accusing them. In those days, if you were a Roman citizen, you had tons of rights. If you weren't a Roman citizen, you pretty much had zero civil rights, none. So there they are. They're in the town center. The magistrates are there. They're being accused. They've literally got Paul and Silas in stocks, and they've got them in chains. And you can read, we read it, it said the crowd joined in the attack. So it's not just a few people attacking them. It's a mob. It's like the protests that we see around the nation at times. Think about that. And in the middle of it, are Paul and Silas, and all they did was drive a demon out. That didn't make the devil happy. So here they are, and then we see they actually got put into what seemed like maximum security prison. They're in the inner prison. This is a rough ministry day for these guys, all right? And here they are. The Bible says that in the middle of that, and can you imagine with me for a minute? The Jews had a limit of how many stripes you could have on your back from being whipped. The Romans did not. In fact, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, I've had stripes beyond measure. So these guys were literally beaten within an inch of their life. I mean, their backs are open. Open wounds, blood, stinky prison, stocks, chains around them, shackles. You can just imagine the stench in that place. And in the middle of that, these two guys sitting on the ground, feet bound, what do they start to do? They start singing. They start singing hymns, it says. They start, great is thy faithfulness. They just start singing praises to God. Suddenly, there's a big boom. Suddenly, the ground starts shaking. It says the foundation of the prison starts shaking. Shackles just open up. The stocks just fall off, not just on them, but on every prisoner. The jail doors swing open. Can you imagine? God showed up in the midst of their praise and set these men free. And not just them, but everybody who was in the prison. The jailer freaks out. I'm going to be killed. I'm going to lose my life. I might as well just commit suicide. Like, that was his plan. And Paul's like, no, wait. None of us are leaving. I know we're free, but we're not leaving. You're okay. The jailer gets saved. His whole family gets saved. And then the magistrates find out this guy is a Roman citizen. We've treated him terribly. And they're like, we're just going to get him out of town quick. Let's get him out of here. We did wrong. And Paul's like, whoa, no. Wait a minute. I have some rights here. You are going to escort me out of town, like in a proper way with respect. And because Paul stood up for himself in that moment, the church in Philippi knew great peace and it exploded and grew. Come on, can we give the Lord praise for what he did? I mean, what a wild story. What an awesome story. It's like the stuff movies are made of. But here's these two servants of God, bound in prison, who when they praised, they were set free. This morning, we're going to talk about the power of praise to bring freedom in your life. How many of you want greater freedom in your life? Come on, lift those hands. Amen. Me too. How many of you know God takes us from glory to glory to glory? And he'll do one thing, set you free. He'll do another thing. And man, it just keeps happening throughout your life as long as you keep drawing close to him. Because there's always deeper and greater things. We sang it a minute ago, right? Draw me deeper. He'll keep doing deeper and greater things. I think he wants to release something this morning for some of you. And if you want to take notes, I encourage you to. Let's talk about it. First is this. Praise ushers the presence of God into your situation. Psalms 22:3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. That means when you praise God in the midst of your pain or in the midst of your prison, like those guys, you are literally allowing God to be enthroned in the middle of your mess. You're allowing God to be enthroned in your situation rather than your emotions being on the throne, or rather than yourself being on the throne, or your own ability, your own intellect being on the throne. Or the enemy being on the throne. You are elevating God to being enthroned in the middle of your situation. And that's what they did in that messy, stinky jail cell. They enthroned God with their praises. I've heard Pastor Morocco say many times, God just showed up and decided to sing bass along with them, and it shook the place. God showed up. God shows up when we praise him. We enter his gates with thanksgiving in. I'm going to try that one more time, okay? We enter his gates with thanksgiving and, right, we enter into his presence. There's a wonderful chapter in Psalms that talks about, it talks about the procession of God coming into the sanctuary. And it says, in front are the singers and the musicians and the dancers. And it's really a picture saying, when we worship, we are ushering literally the presence of God into the place where we are. That happened this morning if you entered in. You felt the presence of God. Some of you were touched by the power of God at this altar. That's what you're doing. Some of you might feel trapped in life. You might feel like you're in some kind of shackles or and you can't get out, or some kind of jail cell, whether it's emotionally or mentally or physically, I don't know. But let me encourage you today, begin to bring in the praise, like we sang, into the very place where you are and see what God does. You see David doing that all throughout the Psalms. Psalms 13, he said, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? David is like in the depths of despair. And he's a man after God's own heart, but he's like, I'm wrestling with my thoughts. Anybody ever been there? You're just like toiling with your thoughts, overthinking, can't get through it. David is right there. And he's like, where are you, God? Anybody ever been at those moments before? Yeah, I see some hands. Maybe you're there today. But in the midst of his suffering and depression, Psalms 13, verse 5 and 6 says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing. Say that with me. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. See, even in the midst of his pain and his depression, he's like, I know, God, I know that you're still good. And ultimately, I trust you. And you might not be showing up right now, but I will sing praise to you. I will choose to praise you. And right in that moment, David is setting himself for a breakthrough. And you can do the same. Because this praise will break off those heavy burdens. Say it with me right now, would you please? Praise breaks off your heavy burdens. We see that in Isaiah 61, verse 3. I'm going to read the Amplified, the classic one. It says, we put on the garment of expressive praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit. Who wants a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit? Nobody. It's saying to have that, we've got to put on praise. I'm very happy to see that all of you this morning got up and chose to put something on before you came to church. Pastor Kirsten said, thank God, on the front row. We're all very happy for that. But I know you didn't get out of bed and just like open that closet and like a magnet, the right outfit just went on your body. No, you sat there, you thought, whatever your process is, you're thinking, and you put some clothes on. Well, the scripture we read that we have to, it says that we have to put on the garment of expressive praise. Sometimes we want it just to happen. I want the magnetic, do all the right things for God. I want the automatic. Guess what? It isn't automatic. It's a choice that you say like David, I will sing, I will rejoice, I will praise. I will put on that garment of praise. You come to church sometimes and they're singing a song and you don't know it. Or maybe you're, you know, somewhere in the back, medium, middle, wherever you are, and you're rubbernecking, who's in church today? And you're thinking about all the things, all the mess you just went through trying to get your kids to church and get them in kids ministry. And somebody didn't make your coffee, you know, exactly the way you liked it, you know? And you're just like, well, I don't know about this church, you know? And you're just like, hey, can I just say for a minute? Don't come in with any of that. Come in to get into the presence of God. It doesn't matter if you know the song. It doesn't matter if you like the song. None of that matters because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always got goodness for you. So you come and you say, it doesn't matter what else happened. I'm putting on the garment of praise. I am going to praise him, and this despair and this mess is going to break off of me through the power of praise. That's how you come to church. You come with that expectation. I tell you what, if you come with that expectation, church will mean something so much more to you. It'll be the place you encounter God, not just give God a look for a minute. You'll encounter him. Can I hear an amen in this place? God wants to do that in your life. That's why like 73 times in the Word of God, we're told to give thanks. If God has to tell us 73 times, I think he's trying to get something across to us. That's why like 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Where? In all circumstances. For this is God's will for you. It's literally God. When you give thanks, you are fulfilling God's will in your life. But let me just share for a moment. The opposite can happen too. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. When we release praise, we release the power of God. Oh, but I hate to say this like this, but when we... Oh, and I'm guilty of it, folks, to grumble, murmur, complain. We're releasing something else. And that verse says we're releasing a destroyer in our lives. Which would you rather have? The power and presence of God or something destroying your life or your family? So we've got to pull ourselves out of the funk like David did, pull ourselves out of grumbling, complaining, all of that kind of stuff, and we've got to start releasing praise and God's presence in our home, in our business, our family, our marriage, our situation, rather than releasing a destroyer. You know, sometimes as I was thinking about this message, sometimes we feel like we just got the legitimate right to complain. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You do not know how I was betrayed. You do not know how underhanded. You do not know what those people spread about me online. I'm just saying different things that can happen. And it can really feel like we have the right. But let's talk about Paul and Silas. They were mistreated and they were not guilty. Beaten. And Paul, like I said, was a Roman citizen. I mean, he did not deserve that. He literally had the right to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to grumble. I'm going to complain. Hey, get me those magistrates in this jail cell right now. Get the sheriff in here right now. This is not how it's supposed to be. I'm a Roman citizen. I'm going to stand on my rights. And later on, he did. When he said, no, escort us out of town. We will need to be treated right. But he didn't start with that. He started with, I exalt thee, in that jail cell. Even though he had the right, he started breaking through the situation with praise. And what if that was our go-to? When we've legitimately been hurt, legitimately have the right to be angry, what if instead we lifted our hands and just begin to praise the one that can really shake the foundations and bring the breakthrough that we need? Come on, church, how about that? Because praise debilitates the demonic. It hinders the demonic, delays the demonic, it weakens. It even destroys the demonic. I love this verse, Psalms 149:6. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance. That's some heavy language. Inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples to bind, say that word with me, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. Praise the Lord. There's some language in there that's really important. We said it, bind. When it talks about binding in the Word of God, it's talking about binding demonic power. Well, we're all disciples of Dr. Morocco, amen? He's the master of knowing this kind of stuff. He's got his doctorate in it. And if you've never heard his teachings or read his books on spiritual warfare, you should get a hold of that. Binding refers to binding demonic power and loosing its victims. Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So the words that we read from Psalm said, the word of God, the sword in your hand, and the praise of God in your mouth will bind kings with fetters. What do we know from Ephesians? That we face principalities and powers, rulers in high places in darkness. It's talking about demonic princes. And what this verse is speaking to us today is that when we will praise God from our heart and when we confess the word of God, it literally binds demonic power and it brings the sentence written out against him. It says, this is the glory of all his faithful people. That means it's meant for every single one of you. Not just for the pastors, not just for the worship team, not just for dancers or musicians. It's all of us that can lift our voice in praise and declare the word of God and see the power of the demonic broken off of our family and our lives. Can I hear an amen? That's what God wants to do. Praise is a major weapon in your spiritual arsenal. We see it in the thing, Paul and Silas, as I said, great is thy faith. That's not the real song they sang. I don't know what they sang, all right? They sang a hymn to God. Shackles off. Can you imagine? Stocks just falling. The ground shaking and cracking and doors open. I mean, like I said, it's movie level happening. And it's a picture that whatever mess you're in, whatever Satan has bound you by, God is greater than. And he wants to come and break those shackles off of your life. Every way the enemy has tried to limit you, hold you down, he wants to come and set you free in that moment. I mean, like I said, Paul and Silas, this is a new place to minister. Nobody's heard the gospel. You can bet, as I said, the devil did not like them being there. So he's throwing out everything against them. Demon girl yelling at them. Accusations. Whippings. And yet, in the midst of all of that, they step out in faith and sing, and everything is broken off in a moment. God chooses to do things in different ways at different times, folks. But I can tell you, there are moments in your life where the Holy Spirit can come and just break something off of you in a moment. He's done it in my life. How many of you that's happened in your life? Look around. Look around. That's what happened. And I love, as I was studying this, I love that God took the time to shake the foundations. He didn't have to do that. The shackles could have just come off the stocks, the doors, and everything. They still would have been set free. But God wanted more than that. He wanted to shake the foundation of their pain, the foundation of their bondage. And I'm telling you, God wants to come just not to strip off of you that the temporary or the surface stuff. He wants to come to get to the foundation of what got you in the mess in the first place. The family cycle things that are a mess that you keep going through. The bad choices you made and now you're reaping it. He wants to come and say, hey, let me show up in the midst of your praise and let me shake that up and crack it and ruin and destroy the foundation that your pain is built on. We're watching just a visual picture of that in this chapter that we read. And it all started with praise. Bondage broken. The power of the demonic broken. You see it with young David and King Saul, 1 Samuel 16:23. Whenever the Spirit of God came on Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. All it took was anointed David plucking that harp and worshiping God. Demonic power broken off of Saul in a moment. Anointed worship causes the enemy to flee. That's one reason we need to be in the house of God. Amen. Anointed worship. What about Satan? I mean, Satan is a musician. He was tied to the worship of heaven. The books of Ezekiel and Isaiah give us these cryptic pictures of the fact that he has musical instruments built into his body. I mean, he is sort of like a one-man band or a one-man orchestra, not a man, but a being, one-being orchestra. Some people think that perhaps he was so close to God, the worship of heaven would flow through him, and as it went through his body, it would create big orchestral-type music. How many of you know that's why Satan still has a foothold in music, and it's a powerful weapon for him, because the gifts of God, the Bible says, come without repentance. He's still operating in those gifts he was given and what he was built to do, but instead of it bringing glory to God, he wants it all to bring glory to himself. In fact, that's what he said. Oh, I will ascend. I will raise my throne above God. Rather than exalting God so that God is enthroned, he said, I will exalt myself to the throne. He was cast out of heaven, and a third of the angels went with him. But he still operates in that same mode. Are you hearing me today? He still operates to rob praise from God. So listen, when you step out of your pain, when you step out of your mess, when you step out of your depression, like David, when you step out of your emotions and you say, it doesn't matter what else is going on, like Paul and Silas, I am going to lift praise to the mighty God. There comes a moment that Satan can't handle it because you're operating opposite of how he thinks and what he wants to happen. And there's a point where the enemy has to flee. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will. Okay, I'm going to try one more time, right? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will. Okay, we're going to say it as if we want the devil to flee, all right? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will. That was so better, all right? That was awesome. Sometimes, I know when I was younger, I used to think of that verse like resist was like you're on the defense and you're resisting, but it's actually not. It's a word meaning that you're on the offense. So as you step out on offense, we could say, against the enemy, he will run and flee. One way that we step out and resist him is through declaring our praises. You see it when Jesus was tempted in the desert. Satan, there he is, doing what he does. He tells Jesus, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. If you will do this one thing, it's because it's the thing he wants more than anything. He says, bow down and worship me. Can you imagine the nerve of tempting God to worship you? That's what he did. And Jesus rises up. And what does he say? He uses that sword in his hand and he spoke a word of worship. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And the devil is like, I can't be around that. And he's gone. That's the same thing God wants to do for you. As you raise up the sword, as you raise up that word of worship and praise in your life. See, we know these things. Pastor, I know that. It isn't about knowing it. It's about doing it. It's about making that our go-to. And when you praise and sing with all your heart, the enemy has to flee. I mean, you see it with Jehoshaphat. I'm just giving you a few scriptural references here. Jehoshaphat, what did God say to do? Through a prophetic word? Through even a Levite? Through a son of Asaph? Through a musician? Well, we had a prophetic word. Yes, it was that we are just going to march out. We're going to praise God, and the Lord is going to fight for us. The Lord is going to set ambushes for us. So the next morning, Jehoshaphat, come on, line up, army. We're going to do this thing. And hey, choir, you know what? We need you in the front. It was a rough day to join the choir. I'm telling you that right now. Because fierce battle, three bad armies. And choir, you go out and you sing and praise. And the Bible says, as they begin to sing and praise, the Lord did set ambushes against the enemy. And they showed up and the enemy was already decimated. God's like, I already took care of it for you. What if we begin to just praise in our mess and God said, let me just take care of it for you. And you turn around and he took care of that financial situation. He took care of that family disagreement. Maybe the power of praise is what we really need to employ before we do anything else. Before we make that phone call, before we send that email, before we text on fire where there's like smoke coming off your phone device. You're even like the one finger text. No, I'm just kidding. No. Maybe first we got to do what Jehoshaphat did. Or like Joshua. Hey, see that big walled city? See that? God just said, walk around it, and at the right time, you're going to shout. You're going to let out a shout of praise. And the walls are going to tumble, and God's going to... Some of you have had walls in your life that counseling, even though counseling can be good, it is a good thing, counseling hasn't worked. You've got walls in your life that seem like the walls of Jericho, and God is saying, praise me, praise me, praise me, praise me, praise me, so you can see those things fall down in your life, never to rise again. The last point today is, we're kind of bringing this home, is this, that praise can bring freedom, not just for you, but the people around you. We already talked about it. A jailer gets saved. His whole family gets saved. Other prisoners get set free. All because two guys decided we're not going to respond the way our flesh wants to respond. We're going to praise God in the place of our pain, in the place of our prison. And others were blessed. You don't know the power that your praise could bring even to your family, to your kids. Maybe you've got a spouse who doesn't know the Lord, or there's issues there at home. Hey, maybe you get up a little bit early and you just take some time to worship in your house. I don't mean like loud with like flags and the music turned up and your spouse can't sleep. I'm not talking about that. Not like, I'll show you. You sinner. You will meet God today. Please don't do that. I don't think it's going to work. All right. I'm talking about ushering God's presence in the house. And maybe they're like, hey, something's different. Or maybe you're different. Maybe it helped you more than anything. Love the way I need to just move on right now. Or your kids, or your job. You find some place, I'm not saying don't do your job. Do the job your boss hired you to do, but maybe somehow you find a moment. Maybe you come a little early and you park in the parking lot and you just turn on your worship in your car and you're like, God, I'm going to just invite your presence into this place where I'm having some challenges. Who knows what your praise could do? Dr. Morocco shares an amazing story that I'll share with you. There was a great missionary, this is like in the 70s, 80s, Sam Sasser. Big guy. He was ministering all throughout the South Pacific and spent a lot of time in the Marshall Islands. Really, I think, brought Pentecost in a way to the Marshall Islands. But he was in the island nation of Yap. And this village where he was at had never heard the gospel. And so he came in, was communicating with the chief, and said, can we share about our God with your village? And the chief said, no way, no. And Sam kept asking, can we share about our God? No. And finally, the chief said, well, if you pass some tests. And so the first test was a wrestling match with one of the warriors. And like I said, Sam Sasser was a big guy, and Sam won the wrestling match. And there was a couple of other tests, and he passed those too. So then the chief of the village said, this is a true story. The chief of the village said, well, I bet you can't win this one. And all the men in the village got in a big circle and just started clapping a certain rhythm. And some of you may have heard this story before. I think it's in one of Dr. Morocco's books. And as they clapped, two young girls, teenage girls, got in the middle of the circle. And as they continued to clap, they started levitating about 10 feet above the crowd. And the chief looked at Sam and said, I bet your God can't do that. And Sam said, you know, my God's not really into that. But he said, he can bring them down. And the chief said, no, he can't. He said, yes, he can. No, he can't. Yes, he can. No, he can't. Yes, he can. And Sam Sasser just walked away from the circle and the levitating demonic thing happening. And this is a true life visual thing of what we've talked about today. He walked out in a field and he just lifted his hands and he started worshiping from his heart to the Lord. Something like, I exalt thee. Can you sing it with me? I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, he's just out there worshiping. And all of a sudden, those two girls, boom, to the ground. One of them broke their leg. He brought them down. God brought them down. And Sam rushed in, laid hands. The girl was healed. And the chief said, you can talk about your God all you want to our village. Come on. It's amazing. All because a big guy just said, I'm going to go worship. His praise affected way more than him. It allowed him to affect an entire village coming to Christ through the power of praise. Do you realize that's what's in your hand? And the devil will do everything he can to keep you from doing it. But God wants to release that in a greater way in your life, I believe, today. And who knows the effect it can have? One more testimony today. This message really for me is, it's not just a message, it's really a life kind of thing. In about 2003, I started having pain in my vocal cords and I was leading worship all the time. And when I sang, it felt like somebody was jabbing me in the throat. And it would be like singing a song. And it was painful, very painful. I went to the doctor, to the ear, nose, throat doctor. They looked inside and they said, you have two growths on your vocal cords. It's not nodules, if you know what that is. They're like, we don't know what it is. It might be cancerous. We need to do a biopsy. I said, I don't want to do a biopsy. I don't want somebody cutting on my vocal cords. And they're like, okay. So they gave me medication. I started not speaking as much as possible. I wasn't leading worship. I was still in staff. I was still organizing everything. But I wasn't leading worship nearly as much. And then I just sort of stopped leading worship. And I remember even going for a three-week period once without speaking at all. I don't know if you've ever done that. It is very difficult. And, you know, I learned some sign language, and I drove my wife crazy trying to communicate with her. She's like, would you slow down? It's hard. And that went on, going to the doctor, getting checked, not getting better. It went on for almost 2 years. And not really hardly ever singing. Very difficult. I flew to the lower 48 to get checked by other doctors. Same song and dance, same thing. And it came to about a year and a half or a little more. And my doctor said, Chris, you have to get this checked. It's been too long and it's not getting better. We have to do a biopsy. And I'm like, give me 3 months. And I'm standing in a church service at the Maui Cathedral, and God gives me this vision, true story, and I saw stones stacked all around my throat. And God spoke to me and said, as you begin to praise me, I just saw the thing just crumble. The walls will fall down. That week, there was a conference, and I remember telling Pastor Colleen, all right, I'm leading worship for your conference. And I just started leading worship every service. It was about six services a week between going to Oahu and being on Maui. So it was a lot of singing. And it would hurt and it would stop me, but I would just keep singing. I'm like, God, give me a word. And I quit taking my medication. Please don't quit taking your medication. I'm not telling you not to take your medication. God can use anything. But it hadn't worked for me in 2 years. And the word of the Lord was praise him, and the walls would fall down. So I'm just praising and praising and leading worship, and we're doing an Easter production in Maui, and I'm flying to Oahu, and we're doing one there, and it's just the use of your voice over and over and over. And in those 3 months, what I didn't realize is that the pain was lessening and lessening and lessening and lessening. I mean, things with God are not always in our human logic, right? You would think the more you use your voice, the worse it's going to be. But the more I kept using it in praise, the better it got. Only I didn't really realize it because I was so busy and Easter was over. And I looked at my wife, Pastor Melissa, and I said, oh, my goodness, my doctor appointment's next week. And I told him 3 months. I don't know what I was so freaked out about. And I went there to that appointment and he put the camera in. And he starts calling for the nurse. Nurse, 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 get in here. Come here, come here. And he turned that monitor around and he said, there is nothing on your vocal cords anymore. Come on. Come on, give God praise. And I tell you that today to say this message is again, not just, hey, I just want to share a word with you. Anything from the word of God can transform our lives, but it is something out of my life that I've lived. And I believe God wants to do similar things for many of you in this house. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Musicians, would you come? I'm going to ask you if you would just bow your head all across this room. You might be here today and you might be going through so much that a lot of people don't even know. There might be inner turmoil. There might be almost like an inner prison in your heart or your mind. Things that you can't seem to shake, things that feel like bondage in your life, and you're like, I want to get free and see greater freedom in my life. God is here to bring that to you and to begin that process for you. And if that's you, no one looking around, would you just lift your hand with me because I want to pray for you. Lift your hand high, lift your hand high. Oh God, God, you see hands lifted in this room. Church, can you just begin to pray? Pray in the Spirit for these. Come on. Right now, in your name, Jesus, I bind and break off every work of the enemy to hold these people in bondage now in Jesus' name. Inner issues, soul issues, be healed in the name of Jesus. Shackles of the mind come off in the name of Jesus. Oh God, shackles holding them physically down. I see some of you almost like shackles on your ankles, like the enemy's just trying to pin you down and not allow you to go forward. We break that now in the name of Jesus. In the same way that the enemy was trying to hinder Paul and Silas from reaching the entire continent of Greece, I believe there's some of you here that the enemy is just trying to pin you down from moving forward in the plan God has for you. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we bind and break off that work of darkness that is trying to hinder you in the name of Jesus. And we declare freedom today in Jesus' name. Now, church, here's what I'm going to ask us to do. Like 100% thank you, you're awesome, Minister Toby, but without even that anointed playing, we're going to lift our hands all across this room and we're going to give like a Jericho kind of shout of praise in this room. And I don't mean for 1 second. I mean for like 30 seconds at least, all right? And whatever is going on in your life, you just start to praise God over that situation. I believe there's some things that are going to begin to be knocked down. And as you put this word into practice, not just on a Sunday morning, but you actually put it into practice day by day, I believe God's going to show up to begin to slay some of those things that have come against you. So are you ready? 100%. Everybody got to do it, all right? It's 100%. Even if you're new today, don't be scared, all right? Would you lift your hands with me? Count of three. Make it huge. One, two, three. Come on and shout! Hallelujah! 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 God, you are great. God, you are mighty. God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.